This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This past week, the Muslim Ummah has been afflicted with two major disasters. We've seen the earthquake that has afflicted Morocco, causing thousands to be killed and many, many, many more injured and displaced. We've seen the torrential rains and the subsequent flooding of Libya, which has already crossed 10,000 deaths. Allah Azza wa Jal decrees that these things happen from time to time. And it is an opportunity for us to remember why these things happen in the first place. Why does Allah will this type of calamity upon us, people who are people of faith, people who are people of Tawheed? Despite what we do, we find that trouble and trial and tribulation is a part of our lives, a part of our lives that we can never completely be free from. And so we have to reckon with ourselves and reckon with our ideas of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and reckon with our assumptions about what we're here and what we can expect from this dunya for the very short amount of time that we're here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim. He, one of His noble and beautiful names, is the most wise. And so we take it on faith that absolutely everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does has wisdom behind it, even if it's extremely difficult for us to accept or to recognize. So we're going to begin by teasing out what are some of the consequences, or what are some of the wisdoms behind even such a cataclysmic and painful event, such as the events that have happened recently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that one of the aspects of wisdom behind these things happening is to collect from amongst our ranks martyrs, shuhada. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِيَّمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. If you are touched by some sort of harm or wound, then you should know that your enemies also are afflicted by something similar to it. And these days, these types of afflictions, we make them cycle, we make them rotate, everybody takes turns, we alternate them among the people. So that, why? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make it clear, those who believe, and second, that He might take from among you martyrs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who do wrong. Now this ayah was revealed in the context of jihad, in the context of war. But the ulama, they have a saying, al-ibra bi'umum al-lafz, la bi-khusus al-sabab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala words things in a general way, that they have more applications than the specific situation that they were responding to. And so in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a situation, but the words that He uses are general enough to be applied to these other sorts of natural disasters as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to take from us martyrs. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that our idea of who is a martyr or who is a shaheed might be a little too narrow compared to that concept with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think of a martyr, we think of a shaheed, we only think of warfare. We only think of jihad fi sabilillah. But there are other types of martyrdom. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الشهداءُ خمسةٌ المطعون والمبطون والغريق وصاحب الهدم والشهيد في سبيل الله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there are five types of martyrs. One, someone who dies during a plague. Two, someone who dies from a disease of the stomach. Three, somebody who drowns. Four, someone who dies under rubble. And five, someone who is killed while fighting in the way of Allah. Notice that two of those very, very clearly and explicitly cover the Muslims who have passed away in these past few weeks, both in Morocco and in Libya. Those who die under the rubble from an earthquake, and those who are drowned in water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have the correct understanding. We feel grief, And many of us are personally afflicted. Maybe we have family over there that have had things happen to them, members of our family that we have lost. But we have to understand, in the grand scheme of things, if they were right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is not really a loss, that this is a tremendous gain. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the martyrs, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Don't say about those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are truly dead. No. In fact, they are alive with their Lord, receiving provision. So that is one aspect of wisdom, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wants good for the people that He took away. We see it, we cry, we experience grief and sorrow. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took these people back to Himself, and we have reason to expect a good end for them. Another piece of wisdom behind these things happening to us is that those who remain on earth, we recognize the value of life, and we don't take it for granted, like maybe we had been doing before. And the value of life particularly, we're not just talking about the number of days that we have on this earth. We're not talking about how long that Allah allows us to live, but we focus on what is truly important in our time here. And what is truly important is what we have put forth for our afterlife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed the time of our death from every single one of us. May Allah forbid it, ma'ad Allah, some of us could die on the way home from the khutbah. Some of us could die tomorrow. Some of us could die next week or next month or decades from now. We have no way of knowing. And Allah is Al-Hakim. He did this with wisdom. He did this with mercy so that we would stay ready, so that we would focus on preparing ourselves for that inevitable moment. We know that it's coming, even if we don't know when, but we have to be ready for it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us many instructions for how we should orientate ourselves in our lives, how we should live our lives so that we don't lose sight of this fact, that the main reason that we're here is to be taken away and to eventually meet our Lord. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, laysa al-ghina an kathratil al-arad, walakin al-ghina ghina al-nafs. Wealth, true wealth, richness is not in having many possessions, but true wealth is being content with yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned that we would spend too much time chasing the dunya, chasing the cars, chasing the jobs, chasing the money. Your money is gonna come, your house is gonna come, your job is already secured. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decided it, already wrote it out. And there's nothing that you're going to do that's going to change that. And so what should be your focus and your himmah? What should keep you up at night? What should occupy your thoughts is that moment when you're going to meet your Lord, preparing for the afterlife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَةٌ مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَاهِ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the world with all that is contained is cursed. Mal'oon. It's cursed. The world and everything in it is cursed except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which pleases Allah. What's the main obstacle in our way from living right, from preparing for that moment of departure and separation and meeting Allah? It's hubb ad-dunya. It is loving the earth too much, getting distracted in these things that we enjoy. Which is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, يُوشَكُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمَ الْأُمَمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكْلَةِ عَلَى الْقِسْعَتِهَا قِيلْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَمِنْ قِلَّةِ بِنَا قَالَ لَا لَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ تُنْزَعُ الْمَهَابَةُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ مِنْكُمْ وَيُوضَعُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, he said, there's gonna come a day when your enemies summon those around you to gather and attack you, just like there are people that are called to gather around a dish and eat off of that dish, except they're going to be eating you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, somebody asked, how could this be possible? Will it be because we're very few in number at that time? He said, no. You're going to be so numerous. You're going to be more numerous than the bubbles in the sea, than the foam of the sea. But Allah will take the fear of you out of your enemies' hearts and will put into your hearts wahn. And somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, mal wahn? He says, yeah, O Messenger of Allah, what is this thing, al-wahn, that Allah puts in our hearts that's going to cause us to be weak and overrun by our enemies? فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, love of this world and detesting or disliking death. These things, brothers and sisters, are meant to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're meant to be a wake-up call. The dead have already met their maker. They're already taken care of. The ones who need more mercy at this point is us. We should hope for an ending like the ending of martyrs. But we're still here, and we're still acting, and we're still breathing, and we're still living, and everything we do, the angels are writing down good, bad, good, bad. We are the ones that need the mercy. And so this is a wake-up call and a reminder to me and to you to straighten up. To straighten up and to get busy. اعملوا على مكانتكم. As Allah said in the Quran, work for your station in the afterlife. Now don't get this wrong. When we talk about the wisdom behind these things, we are not saying to just simply offer, as the non-Muslims say, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers is sort of something people make fun of these days, because people use it in a way to prevent action from being taken. We're not saying to not take action. No, we have to take action. In fact, when things happen like this, this is a test in a different way. Not only is it a wake-up call for everybody who survives and is living, but it is an opportunity to express our solidarity with the Ummah and to display our love of the Muslim Ummah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's an opportunity to purchase our Jannah through what we give, through what we help. We want forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us stay up at night begging for it. And yet these opportunities come and they come and they come. And sometimes we're on the couch and we're just channel surfing. We need to pay attention to these opportunities. Some of the brothers, and I'm sure the sisters as well, have passed. The government of Morocco has an official bank account, just like what happened with Turkey when Turkey had the earthquake recently. There's an official bank account that you can donate money to help in this effort. The exchange rate between America and Morocco, mashallah, tabarakallah, even just a little bit, will go a long, long way. So we encourage everybody, the opportunity is for you. The opportunity is for you to purchase your afterlife. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those who believe, yashuddu ba'dhum ba'dhan, that they strengthen one another, and he laced his fingers together like this. And he also said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the believers are like parts of the body. When one part of the body becomes sick, the rest responds with fever. And so if we want to be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to live up to that. We have to feel with our brothers and our sisters wherever they are. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله والداعي إلى الرضوان صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وإخوانه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. As much as we are expected and demanded and commanded to have solidarity with the global Muslim Ummah, every single one of us has to understand that our responsibility is even more so for our local ummah. That the people that are closest to you have the most right to you, to your talents, to your time, to your skills, to your energy, to your money, yes, to your money. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was explaining the rights of the neighbor, rather, when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam was explaining the rights of the neighbor to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Jibreel kept on going and going and going on and on until he, alayhi salatu wasalam, thought that he was going to make the neighbor inherit from him just like your kin, just like your blood relatives, just like your son or your daughter. That this is the type of right that is upon you from your neighbors. And when it comes to helping our neighbors, one of the ways specifically, one of the best ways to help them is by providing food, that making sure everybody has enough to eat. We find this over and over again in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about the people of paradise. In Surah Al-Insan, He says, what's one of the characteristics of the people? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They give food in spite of their love for it to the needy and the orphan and the captive. Notice that, in spite of their love for it. Allah is not asking you to not love food. Allah is not asking you to want to give everything that you're going to give, but He's still expecting that you give. Notice the intention. What did they say next? How are we going to be rewarded for this? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. They say, the people of paradise who used to feed other people, we feed you only for the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only for Allah. We don't want anything for you, no reward, no award, no recognition, no gratitude. إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. Certainly we fear from our Lord a day that will be severe and distressful. So what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do for such people? For people who take care of others' needs, who feed them, who make sure that they don't go hungry. فَوَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَلَقَاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا. Allah will protect them from the evil of that day and give them radiance and happiness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ مَنْ بَاتَ الشَّبَعَانِ وَجَرُهُ إِلَى جَنْبِهِ جَاءِ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, a mu'min, a believer, is not somebody who can sleep at night full, his stomach is full, and his neighbor next to him is hungry, and he knows it. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He described the believers in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those people that settled in Medina before they were the migrants came to them, they loved those from Mecca who migrated to them. And they do not find anything within their hearts, meaning they don't find any opposition. They're not stingy for what they gave to the emigrants, but they actually preferred them to themselves. The people who came from Mecca, the Muhajirun, the people of the Ansar in Medina actually preferred them over their own selves. Even though they themselves were in need, they were not like us. They did not have food in the fridge. They did not have rent paid. They did not have investments. They did not have stocks. They did not have summer homes. They did not have other assets. And yet, they preferred them to themselves, even though they were in need. They needed it more than the others, and yet they gave. And whoever is protected from the stinginess of his own soul, it is those who will be the successful. Feeding other people is beyond even just the ummah. It is something general for all mankind, and one of the most effective techniques of da'wah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the very first thing that they heard him say in Medina, Abdul ibn Salam and the others who came to him, one of the first things they heard him say, "U'budu ar-Rahman wa atimu ad-da'am wa afshu as-salam tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam." They said, "Worship the Most Merciful and feed the people food and spread salam. If you do these things, you will enter Jannah easily. You will enter Jannah in peace." It's been a while since we had a kitchen here at Utica Masjid. We have people in our community that are hungry. We have people in our community that are food insecure. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. And even beyond the Muslim community, there are many people that require this type of help in Utica, and especially here in Cornhill. We are attempting to, in addition to the other fundraisers for Morocco and Libya, we are attempting to raise money to build a kitchen in the basement. We've already raised 15,000 through the YouTube channel, alhamdulillah. We have to raise another 15,000 here locally, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can build the capacity and the ability to get this ajr. So that we can build the capacity to do this good deed. Think about how much happens, how much khair, how much good happens over food when we're able to invite people in and sit people down and provide a fresh meal and hear their problems and find out what assistance they need. But we're not able to do that if we don't have a kitchen. We can't prepare things for ourselves. So this is something that we're striving for, inshallah. We need to, inshallah, in the next 2 weeks, raise $15,000 so that we can have an operational kitchen. We can start receiving qurbanis and udhiyas. We can start receiving, we don't even have refrigerators downstairs. We can start receiving donations. We can start pairing them with the people in need. And inshallah, Allah will help this deen and Allah will help us to achieve it. There is one family in the area that said that if we're able to raise even just 10, that they would provide the other 5. So we have 2 weeks to raise $10,000, inshallah. And then we will meet our goal, inshallah ta'ala, to be able to have a full kitchen where we're able to have meals and help people and obtain this great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked so much about.